This morning, we've been learning about what happens when people encounter the Lord Jesus. A lot of things happen. And when we turn to the New Testament and the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we meet even more individuals and families who encounter Jesus and whose lives are radically changed by meeting him. Some of them experience healing or deliverance. For others, they have these huge burdens or weights lifted from their backs. Others who maybe at the beginning of the story find themselves on the outside and rejected, then through meeting Jesus, find themselves on the inside and they're accepted. I think of people like Levi, the tax collector, who we've learned about, how the circumstances and the direction of his entire life was forever changed because of Jesus. And you know, this is exactly why Jesus came, to make a difference in people's lives. People like the folk that we read about in the Bible, but people like you and me. He came to ransom and heal and restore and forgive sinners. But of course, the wonderful thing about encountering Jesus is that those encounters aren't just something that we read about in the pages of the Bible. Jesus can still be encountered today. We can still know and feel and hear Jesus today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, whom he sent to be our comforter and helper. It's the Spirit who dwells in our hearts as believers, who gifts us with faith, who changes us to be more like the Son, and who empowers us to live lives that bring glory and honour to the Father. Pat and Clara Rose earlier on were sharing with us their stories, their encounter episodes, how Jesus' love and his cross became very real to them in their lives, and how with the help of the Spirit, they turned from their sin and they trusted the Lord Jesus to be their Saviour. You know, in truth, every single person who calls themselves a Christian has a story like this. The details or the circumstances may be different, but the basic idea is the same. Some way, somehow, in God's goodness, they encountered Jesus. And we call that story a testimony. And it's as a result of that testimony, that encounter, that lives are changed for time and eternity. But you know, the wonderful thing about being a disciple of Jesus Christ is that we don't just encounter him once, but we encounter him over and over. Every single day of our lives, we encounter him. We encounter the Lord Jesus through his word as he tells us the way to go in life and how to honor him more and more. We encounter him in prayer as we sense him coming near to us, granting us renewed perspective or peace. We encounter Jesus amongst his people when they show us love and spur us on in truth. We encounter Jesus in the world as we see his goodness and his provision all around us. And we encounter him when we join him on his mission to reach more and more people with the life-changing message of the cross. That's right. Encountering Jesus isn't just about us getting the blessing. It's about us sharing the blessing with others too. If you don't believe me, then why not join with me on a tour of the gospel accounts when we read of many people who encounter Jesus? And what we find is that not only were their lives changed, but they then received this new sense of call. They had this new motivation to go make a difference in the lives of others. Why not think back to the very beginning of the gospel accounts when Jesus arrives on earth, the first Christmas? We're told, aren't we, that he was born in a manger in Bethlehem and that he had some visitors, and some of those visitors were the shepherds. Angels had appeared to the shepherds on the hills over the town of Bethlehem. They'd been told of his birth and they made their way there to pay homage to this newborn king. Luke tells us they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. So there's our first example. These shepherds encounter the baby Jesus, and then what do? They quickly go and spread the word to other people. Fast forward a bunch of years to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Word is beginning to spread about him that he is the Lamb of God that's come to take away the sin of the world. And one man that hears this great news is a guy called Andrew. He's a simple fisherman, but he hears the message of Jesus coming and he wants to find out more. And upon encountering Jesus, naturally, instinctively, he believes. But then he does something. Before dropping his nets to follow Jesus, he goes to find his brother, a guy called Cephas. We know him as Peter. We're told that he found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Fast forward again, and Jesus now in his ministry, healing people, teaching people, meets a Samaritan woman at a well. This woman is an outsider. She's lived a messed up life, full of sin, full of pain, full of regret. She's been looking for love in all of the wrong places. And really, Jesus should have nothing to do with her. He should avoid an encounter with her. But instead, he meets with her. He exposes her sin to her. He tells her she's been drinking in the wrong well. And then he offers her the water of life. He promises to satisfy her thirst and take away her sins. And what does she do after receiving that good news, after experiencing his salvation? You guessed it. We're told then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they came out of the town and made their way towards Jesus. Fast forward again, and Jesus is healing people, doing all kinds of miracles. Word is spreading. His fame and reputation is growing. And next, Jesus encounters a blind man. This man has been blind from birth. Jesus, filled with compassion for him, instructs him to go and put some mud on his eyes and then wash them at a nearby pool. And of course, miraculously, his sight is restored and his life is changed. And as people find out about this, some of the people that find out are the Pharisees, Jesus' enemies. And so they get this former blind man and they put him on trial. They want him to speak badly of Jesus, to say that he's a sinner. But this man can't. He can't deny or keep quiet about the difference that Jesus has made in his life, no matter what the pressures or the consequences. So he stands in open court before his family, before the religious leaders, before most of the town, and this is what he says. "Whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see." Fast forward again, and Jesus' ministry has now reached its climax. He's been crucified on the cross so that healing and forgiveness and life will flow, not just to one or two individuals, but really to all who trust on him, who believe on him. He gave his life as a sacrifice. And after doing that, his body was laid in a borrowed tomb. And it seems that the time for encountering Jesus is well and truly over. But of course, Sunday comes. And some of the women who love Jesus have gone to the tomb to prepare his body for a proper burial. And when they arrive, they find the stone is rolled away. And naturally, they're distressed. They meet a man who they believe is the gardener. But they soon realize that he is none other than the risen Lord Jesus. He's alive. And so in their excitement, what do? With this encounter, they run and they tell others. They run and tell the 11 disciples the great news that the Master has risen again. And now really begins a relay race, if you like, of more people telling more people about encountering Jesus. The disciples encounter the risen Lord Jesus in an upper room. And then, filled with the Spirit, they run into the streets and literally tell thousands, empowered by the Spirit, the good news of Jesus. They will not and cannot remain silent. And so then they face imprisonment, but still they keep going and keep telling. Finally, they leave the city of Jerusalem and they spread out into Judea and Samaria. And then we read in Acts how a Pharisee called Saul, who once persecuted the church, he too miraculously encounters this risen Lord Jesus. And as a result, not just his name, but his entire life is irreversibly changed. He now becomes Paul, And he dedicates himself to building up the church, not destroying it. He takes the baton and he runs on with the gospel message. He plants churches, he trains pastors, crosses continents, writes most of the New Testament, and then finally gives his life for Jesus. And guess what? The great relay race of people encountering Jesus and then running to tell others continues right up to this day. In fact, the Bible says that the baton has been passed to you and me. The reality is, many of us tuned into church this morning have a story of encountering Jesus, have a testimony, because someone at some time or another ran and told us. They shared their encounter story. For me, it was a loving aunt and a very patient Sunday school teacher, both of whom are in heaven now with their Lord. They shared their encounter story with me, and it made me start thinking, start questioning, start searching the Bible, start listening more at church, start paying attention. And before long, in God's time and God's way, by the work of God's Spirit, I encountered Jesus for myself. At the age of 10, I repented of my sin and believed on him, and I was saved. And you know, the age doesn't matter. In fact, your stage of life doesn't matter. Your circumstances, your background, your baggage, none of that matters. So let me ask you the most important question a person could ask another person. Have you encountered Jesus yet? If you haven't, then why not open your heart to him today? The truth is, he knows all about you, just like he knew all about Levi and all about that sinful woman at the well. But that doesn't mean that you should back away or hide from him in fear. Because guess what? The Bible says that Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. So why not ask him to make the difference in your life today? To forgive you, to make you his follower. Just like he made the difference in the lives of so many other people in the Bible and throughout history. Why not ask him to heal you? To restore you, to take the weight of sin from you and to let you know his forgiveness, to give you the joy of walking with him and talking with him and encountering his presence and his power every day of your life until you finally go to be with him in heaven when you encounter him face to face. If you have done that, and I know many of you have, then let me ask you, what are you doing with your encounter story? How are you sharing your testimony? Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're just keeping it to yourself. The Bible says that we are blessed to be a blessing. Think about it. Andrew introduced. The Samaritan woman shared. The blind man testified. And the shepherds and the women at the tomb, they ran. The apostles went out and spoke up and gave their all. So what about you? What are you going to do with your encounter story? You know, as Christians, we are called to set up more and more encounters with Jesus and other people. We are called to introduce more people to the Son of God, the one who's made the difference in our lives. So who are you going to run and tell today, tomorrow, in the coming week? Who has God put in your path, maybe in your class or your office or your home? Who do you know that needs to know this Jesus, that needs to encounter his love and his power and receive his rescue? Let's not keep it to ourselves. And let's not give way to fear or pressure either, but rather share our encounter stories, share with as many people as possible, and do it with love and compassion and courage and enthusiasm. Because the truth is, when you really encounter Jesus and his salvation, you realize it's not just good news. It's the best news ever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word, the Bible, tells us that one day every single man and woman and boy and girl will encounter Jesus. They will see him in all his glory, and there'll be no mistaking him. Everyone will fall to their knees and declare him Lord. What a day that will be. But for some, sadly, it will be too late, because they didn't bow their hearts before that day. They didn't believe. But how are they going to believe unless we go and tell them? Unless we share the good news, unless we point the way to the one who's touched us and healed us and made the difference in our lives. Lord, would you help us to do that? Help us to obey your command to go and tell others of the great Jesus that we have encountered, of the forgiveness and the hope and the liberty and the life we have come to know. Lord, help us to overcome our fears. Help us not to be silent, but to be faithful in introducing others to you. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you first loved us and you sent your Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.